This is a real tough love coaching session with a woman named Jessie who's been struggling to lose weight for decades. Now, I need to give you a trigger warning because, boy, is this a tough love conversation. The way I talk to this person, it's intentional and it's aggressive, but I do it for a reason.
My name is Jessie. I am 33, and I am from Syracuse, New York. I'm just not comfortable in my skin on a physical level. It's difficult to fit into certain chairs, to do normal everyday activities with my kids. I'm always the one that stands out in the crowd, typically as the bigger girl in the room, and I'm ready to not be dealing with the extra weight that potentially could take my life in the end.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you're probably going to hate me as you listen to this. Just promise me you will listen all the way to the end, because the issue that she walked in asking for help with isn't the one she needed help with.
I was labeled as an emotional eater, as an overeater. I had like an eating disorder, and I'm not saying I don't, but I don't.
Why do you get mad when people tell, when people say what's true about you?
Because I want to decide what's true about me. I don't want other people telling me who I am.
You're going to hate talking to me then.
Well, maybe that's why I'm here, because I need, you know, I said I needed a push.
And let me tell you. She got one.
Oh, shit.
You're listening to live coaching sessions with real people.
Hi, Mel. I'm Aisha Hamid from Pakistan.
Love you, Mel.
Hi, Mel. I want to be coached by you.
Pick me, Mel.
Hi, Mel. My name's Lisa. I'm from Brazil.
54321. Come on, Mel Robbins. Please pick me.
Facing real problems.
Anxiety of what other people think.
Self-acceptance is my biggest thing.
Procrastination is causing me to just build a wall.
The fear of losing weight.
That shit's deep as fuck.
And experiencing real change.
That's powerful.
That was the Real Talk Express.
Oh, shit.
Now I really know what to do, and I feel empowered.
That is nuts, Mel. You blew my shit away.
This is Kick-Ass with Mel Robbins.
Hi!
How are you?
Good!
Welcome to Boston.
Thank you.
Tell me why you're here. Why do you want to talk to me?
Okay, I need to get over the self-sabotage of my weight loss.
Okay.
So that's the main reason.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your weight. How much do you weigh?
All right, I am 293, maybe?
Is this the heaviest you've ever been?
Absolutely.
Have you always been heavy?
I was healthy weight up until my first, second grade. And then I had some abuse happen. And since then, I have always been overweight or obese.
And what happened in second or third grade?
I was sexually abused by a teenage boy in the neighborhood.
What happened?
I was at a sleepover. Uh-huh. And the girl that I was friends with, her older brother was babysitting us. Mm-hmm. He brought me into his room and he did some sexual acts to me, and his friend also to his sister.
Did you and the friend ever talk about it?
No. After that, she started to bully me, and I started to gain weight, so our friendship was over at that point. And
what did she do to bully you?
Oh, we were on the same softball team, and it was just, she was just snotty towards me on the bus. You know, she would make comments about my weight.
This is in first and second grade.
This is very young, so like the details are foggy, but that's the truth. And it's really only been until recently that I've started talking about it.
And had you always remembered it, or had you suppressed it and then it came back later?
I suppressed it and it came back later.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, you got more choked up when you talked about the bullying than you did when you talked about the molestation and sexual abuse. Why?
I think I'm more disconnected with the abuse. The bullying has been, that was something that went on for years. So that was more of a constant, and when I got older and older. And it wasn't until middle school when I started to sing. So I had like a positive thing I was known for that I was able to build my confidence.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So when did you remember the sexual abuse?
9 months ago.
That's it? How old are you?
33.
Well, it was 27 when I remembered mine. I am a survivor as well. It was an incident at fourth grade.
Oh, okay.
That's right about the same time there. And how did you remember it? What happened?
Oh, shit. Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Why? What? This is a dramatic story?
Well, okay. I was being intimate with my husband, and I had a flashback while we were being intimate.
Wow.
Yeah, it sucked. But as I learned, that's normal.
Yeah.
Like, that's a way that trauma can come back. And my husband's a safe place, and he was awesome. He's a great man. But yeah, so I had this flashback. I was going through EMDR therapy.
Oh, so you were going through therapy for your weight?
I was
and
going...
And that stirred up a bunch of stuff that had you remember being sexually abused while making love to your husband.
Yes.
You can laugh.
All right, we'll laugh because I don't know how else to handle it right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, our issues can be heavy, or you can actually try to bring some levity to serious issues so that you get in touch with your humanity.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still here. You're still breathing. You're still on the right side of the soil. Like, so, and you survived.
I did.
The incident itself has enough heaviness to it that if you can find the humor in life, it can be helpful.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you discover it and then you go back into therapy and what do you learn?
I learned that this is essentially when I learned that this is the reason I'm blocked with my weight loss and also with my businesses that I, you know, my entrepreneur businesses, that I sabotage myself, a fear of really being seen.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's being acknowledged in my business, like it's what I want, it's what I know I can get, but then it happens and then I retreat and I sabotage all the hard work I've done. So same thing with the weight loss. Like, so that's what I learned after I had the flashback.
And so now that you have this insight, which makes a lot of sense.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, that's the fear is you talk about it.
I'm fat because, you know, like the reason why I'm fat is because I don't want anybody to touch me.
Yeah, and people go, oh, but you're just lazy. Like, you don't
follow.
No, I'm so fucking hard worker.
Then why are you fat?
Because I sabotage myself because I'm afraid of people.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Because I eat. I will eat stuff from my childhood. Like, those are my favorite foods to go to.
Why did you get mad at me when I said you're lazy?
Because people have said that to me.
What if it's true? There's a difference between being busy, which you are, and being lazy, which means you actively avoid doing the hard stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that part of the issue is being busy. And you strike me as somebody who, it's sort of like this energy that if you just keep moving, no one can catch you.
Yep.
I do understand what you're saying about the weight and how it can become a protection and it can become a sense of safety and identity. And it also allows you to not be seen, which makes you feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's a deeper level to this that you haven't uncovered about what you're actively doing that will help give you the self-control and the power that you need that you can't find.
Okay.
Have you ever had a period in your life where you did lose weight?
Yes.
What happened?
I was like 23, I think it was.
Okay.
And it was the only time I was a healthy weight.
And how much do you weigh?
I was 150.
Okay.
Which is pretty
How tall
good.
Are you?
Like 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah, it's a great weight.
Yeah, I'd like to be back there.
Okay. You can get back there.
I know.
Do you believe that?
I do. I know it's going to be hard. And I don't necessarily think what's going to be hard is the physical work.
What's going to be hard?
Letting go of the fear.
What are you afraid of?
People seeing me.
What does that even mean? I see, I don't buy that. I don't think that's true. I think you're dying to be seen.
Mm.
You're a singer, for crying out loud.
It's true. Right.
I think there's something else going on entirely. The way in which you're describing this stuff
okay.
is too convenient. And seeing the things that you've seen, it's not making a difference. And that tells me that we haven't discovered the truth yet.
Okay.
Not necessarily okay. about what happened with the trauma, but actually what you did in response to it and the patterns that you started to develop and the strategies that you started to use. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yep. I was labeled as an emotional eater, as an overeater. I had like an eating disorder, and I'm not saying I don't, but I don't.
Why do you get mad when people tell, when people say that what's true about you?
Because I want to decide what's true about me. I don't want other people telling me who I am.
You're going to hate talking to me then.
Well, maybe that's why I'm here, because I need, you know, I said I needed a push. I need a big push. And so
okay.
There has been this defense mechanism. It's like, I don't need anybody. I can do it on my own. And my poor husband has been has gotten the brunt of that a lot. So,
what do you think you're angry about? Like, so, cause what's okay. interesting is you're lovely and funny and you got a great personality. And I would imagine that when you walk into the room, your energy and your personality is what's in the room.
Yeah.
But underneath all of that, there's somebody who's very angry.
Yeah, I could see that. That's why I don't really have a lot of deep friendships, probably, for this reason.
Because
mm-hmm. it gets to that point and I say, fuck you, and I leave, or I move, or I go to a different church, or I go to a different job, and
mm-hmm.
it gets too close.
Yeah, catch me if you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how my husband
You're
is
constantly
stuck.
Testing people.
You. Yeah.
To see if they're going to stick around.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How's it working?
Not great. Yeah. And I guess I'm afraid that my husband's going to go. You know, I'm going to push him.
Have you?
I haven't pushed him far enough yet, but I know he has said he's not happy. He wants more of an intimate relationship, and I just like close it off. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. We're fine, you know.
The cool thing is that you know a lot. You know what you reach for when you get emotional.
Yeah.
You know that the sexual abuse makes you want to hide.
Yeah.
The thing that we haven't figured out is the real pattern.
Okay.
I think it has to do with anger.
Okay.
When I think about what we've been talking about so far, the piece that really jumps out at me, though, is the theme of friends, the theme of bullying. And it's striking to me that that upsets you more than the sexual abuse that you remembered, that this lack of connection in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk more about that.
Okay.
So why do you think you don't have any friends?
Because I feel like if I am really honest with them, then they won't want to be friends with me.
What does that mean?
Like, they'll see my ugliness, and then they'll run away.
What's your ugliness?
What is my ugliness? All right, let's go. Let's see. I'm selfish.
Okay.
I'm definitely selfish. I want to be the center of attention. I want to be the most, the best in the room. I'm trying to think of, like, what would people say right now?
I love this. I love it because you're actually, this is the first time you're being honest.
Okay.
I think the worst thing that actually happened to you is when a therapist told you that you're fat because of sexual abuse. I think it's the opposite. I don't think that you want to hide at all. I think you're pissed off when you're not the center of attention. You just admitted it. I used to be just like, I used to be the world's biggest narcissist. It's why I have very few friends from high school, very few friends from college, very few friends from my 20s and 30s. And it wasn't until I realized, holy shit, I wouldn't want to be my friend either. Because I don't like to share the attention. I don't like it when other people are doing better than me. I'm catty. I'm jealous. I'm gossipy. And it's all because it's got to be about me. And I think the reason why you haven't lost weight has nothing to do with sexual abuse. You've been heavy your whole life. Yeah. You didn't even remember this.
Right.
Very Freudian of a therapist to tell you, oh, conveniently, now we have the answer. No, we don't. You like your weight.
Yes, because that's true.
Oh, tell that's me true. More.
I do like my weight.
Why do you like being fat? And I'm going to use that word.
That's okay. It is fat.
Yeah. Why do you like it? Why do you like being the size you are?
Oh, maybe it's because I'm... Oh, shit. Because I'm the fattest person in the room. So that makes me special somehow. Oh, this is very interesting. It almost gives me a reason to be angry at people. Like, I feel like people are judging me, but they're maybe not even saying anything, but they look at me. And then I'm like, oh, they think I'm fat. I hate them. You know, and I'm like, I don't even know this person. I'm trying to think of an example. Like, let's say I'm on the airplane sitting next to this businessman. And when you were a fat person, like, oh, my God. I did have anxiety sitting, like, who am I going to sit next to?
Why?
Because my chub goes over into their seat.
You love that, though. Admit it.
Oh, because they see that I'm there. Like, they have to know I'm here.
You take up space, man. If you lost all that weight and you were just a 150-pound pastor's wife, look, you're even disgusted by that idea. And you have the audacity to come in here and tell me, I want to lose weight. I'm
oh
sad,
my God.
Mel. I want to lose weight. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah, you're right. I don't, because I know how to do it.
What is the power that you get from being the weight that you are? Tell me all the things that are good about it.
Oh.
Tell me the ways in which you get to use your weight to boss your husband around.
Oh, boy. Gosh. How do I use my weight to boss my husband?
Or to dominate him.
There is a sense of, like, you need to pity me because I am fat.
Bingo.
And I'm fat, so I need to take a nap.
Yep. And what else?
And you need to do the dishes.
Yep.
And you need to do the laundry. And can you just take one of these effing kids for I can take a break? Because I'm fat? What? What? Does that? I mean, what? Are you kidding me? This is unexpected.
It always is. You haven't gotten down to the core root. And the root is not sexual abuse. The core is narcissism. And it's a desperate desire to dominate the hell out of any situation. And yeah, maybe you got some rage in you because you got bullied like everybody got bullied. But it spiraled out of control. And when you started to get fat, you got people's attention. Mm-hmm. Was your mother worried about your weight?
Yes, but it was very, like, it was very tiptoe. Everyone has to tiptoe around me.
Oh, because you're special.
I'm special, and I was
I shouldn't say I was. I'm good at tantrums. They've gotten less and less over the years because I've have tools to better to deal with my anger. But I was known as like the door slammer. So if you were going to take my cookies away, like, no one wants to do that. So there was a lot of like walking around eggshells around me.
So let's go back to your husband. So do you deny him sex because you don't want to get naked?
You know, I'm actually okay being naked. I know.
Great.
I am.
Well, you know why? Because you're proud of how you look.
Oh, fuck.
Doesn't it suck
oh
when you see
God.
The truth?
Oh, my God. Some people say, I hate being fat. I'm so fat. And I'm like, no, I am body positive. Like, it's okay to be big, you know.
I want to be honest with you about something.
Okay.
I don't care what you weigh. I am all for body positive and people feeling amazing in their bodies. What you have to come to terms with is that you are using your weight to punish other people, to dominate other people, and to be a big fucking whiny tantrum throwing adult.
I can't believe it. I mean, it's true. Like, I'm shocked right now. I really am, but it's true.
Are you actually shocked? Meaning,
I don't know.
I find it surprising that a therapist would not have, that somebody wouldn't have pointed this out, but maybe they haven't.
My husband's been trying to tell me. You think that? I wasn't listening to him. Like, he would, he's been trying to tell me this. I mean, he's been living with me.
But if you're a narcissist, you don't hear it. Like, that's the thing you don't understand. You are a power-hungry narcissist who's using her weight to control everything.
Shit, you're right. Like, that's true. That is true.
So,
wow.
Here's the question. Do you want to lose weight or do you want to be fat and not a narcissist? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because when I was skinny, I was still a narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
I was still a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I like to call myself that, but I acted like it at times.
Mm-hmm.
So do I want to be...
Who do you want to be? Like, what do you want? Like, so the first 33 years of your life was... You were a tantrum-throwing fat narcissist.
I don't want to be that anymore. I don't want to be that anymore. I don't want to be a mean person.
Well, you're going to get a divorce. Narcissists don't stay married very long.
I believe it. I
don't think we've completed the list. What are you doing? What do you do with your husband to dominate him?
Criticize.
Yeah. When he tries to help, what do you do?
Shut up, I don't need your help, and I run away, kind of thing.
What do you do at your husband's congregation to be noticed? Because I bet it just burns you up that he's the one that gets all the attention. Just hate that they love him so much. It's true. Why does that upset you?
Because that's true. I want to help people, but then, this has been a huge argument in our marriage. My resentment for not being seen or appreciated or acknowledged.
It bothers you.
Yeah.
That he's the one up front of that church.
Yeah. Because I can do it better. Hello. I went to school like he did. We went to Bible school together. Like, I can preach like you can. My God, this sounds so bad.
It's the truth.
Yeah, it's true. And this is nothing new to him. So, you know what's...
say that. Say it. It's disgusting. Let's hear it.
So what I did a year ago... Oh, this is so crazy. I dyed my hair blue and like purple, like mermaid. It was really pretty.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, fine. No, okay. It wasn't. After a wash, it looked like shit.
Why'd you dye your hair blue?
Because I wasn't getting attention. And I got a lot of negative attention from the church after that. Yeah. I got a lot of attention everywhere because of that. In my business that I was in, I wasn't getting any attention, and I was pissed because I'd been with the company for 4 years. I had met these big goals, and there was, like, no acknowledgement. So then I was, like, pissed. Mm-hmm. So then I dyed my hair blue to get... And I got actually some recognition from the company I was with.
Because you weren't getting the attention.
I wasn't getting the attention because it had grown... The company had grown so big that... You know, I was just another number.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But if I really wanted the attention, wouldn't I work harder to get more recognition?
Nope. It's easier to throw a tantrum. It's what you've been doing since you were little. You don't know how to work hard to get attention. You only know how to throw tantrums to get attention.
That would be a true statement.
The good news is, I think you realize that this is getting to such a serious state with your marriage that the gig is up.
Yeah.
And you are starting to realize that you are single-handedly destroying your marriage. And it has nothing to do with your weight.
It's true.
And the fact that you are courageous enough and honest enough with yourself to admit that you're angry about your husband's success because he's getting more attention, and when they parade out of that congregation and give him the hugs and tell him that was an amazing sermon and thank you for what you said to my father last week at my mother's funeral and what a community builder he is and how this he is, it just enrages you. It's okay.
It's ugly.
It's okay. It is ugly. If you can have a sense of humanity for yourself, like, oh man, holy shit, I've been doing this shit since first grade and people have let me get away with this? Holy cow, I'm a really good tantrum thrower. Wow.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you can kind of have a little... you can laugh at the weight, because the weight, that's not the issue. And neither is the sexual abuse. The issue is narcissism, attention-seeking, and tantrum-throwing. That's why you have no friends. That's why your marriage is failing. That's why you're not happy.
Yeah.
It's okay. It sucks. Dude, I remember when I saw this shit in myself. The worst.
I don't want it anymore. Like, I really don't.
I bet you're exhausted.
Yeah. It's a lot of work to throw tantrums and to push people out of your life, and someone will confront me, and then I'm like, fuck you, and then I'm gone. Like, you're out. Like, delete from my friend list. See you later.
Mm-hmm. It's everywhere.
Yeah. It's everywhere. That sucks.
It's an easy thing to fix, believe it or not.
Okay. Well, I'm good. I want to fix this.
Well, first, I'm curious. Do you actually want to lose weight?
I need to lose weight, like,
no,
physically.
No, I said, do you want to? I didn't ask you if you need to.
Do I want? Oh, God. That's a complicated question, I feel like.
Doesn't have to be.
Do I want to lose weight? I don't know. I don't know.
We're not going to talk about your weight. Because unless... it's something that you want to change, you're not going to do shit about it. And it's a waste of our time to discuss your weight. And you see, until you deal with this attention seeking, and because I think that it's true that you're an emotional eater, mm-hmm. but the emotion that triggers you to eat is anger.
That would be a fair assessment.
That every time you stick food in your mouth, it's like somebody who has a smoker. Every time you shovel in the mac and cheese or the ice cream or the cookies or the mashed potatoes or the Sour Patch Kids or whatever it is that you reach for, it's an F you to everybody.
It is. That is exactly true.
And so you have one of the greatest sources of power in your life is overeating and your weight.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And I think it would rock your identity to the core if you actually lost the weight and if you got control of your eating.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
So, you know, again, I'm going to ask you, do you actually want to lose weight?
I do.
Why?
Because I want to leave behind that person. I want to leave that identity of I'm defined and by my weight and the control, and I'm tired of doing that.
If you want to save your marriage, and if you would like friends, and if you want to be happy, you have got to lose your weight, and you have got to break the habits around eating for power, because it is so tightly intertwined with this narcissism.
I know in my heart that is true. That is here. I've never been able to identify that, but that is very true.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the massive, massive distinction that we've gotten to is that your weight is not the result of pain. It's the result of power.
It's true. It is true. I promised myself before I came in here that I wasn't going to say that's true to anything that I didn't feel was true.
So I want you to walk out of here and actually have a clear direction about what you're going to change and what you actually want. Okay. What business? You're a network marketer, right?
Yes. Yep.
So what do you sell?
I sell ketones.
What are ketones?
Ketones help your body get into ketosis. So basically, my whole business is about living optimally. Well, why is that funny, Mel?
Why do you think it's funny?
Because I'm a fake. I'm a phony. I've been hypocritical.
Yeah.
Like, buy this shit from me. I don't do it. I don't follow it. I do whatever the fuck I want. I don't even drink it every day because I want to be in control. And I've told myself it's because I'm sabotaging my own weight loss. That's why I'm not drinking it every day. But really, it's nothing to do with that. It has to do with the control.
But business isn't about success for you. It's about narcissism. It's look at me, 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 look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you don't care. Because you don't care about selling ketones or using them. You care about the attention that you either get from the parent company or from the marketing or from your upline or the attention that your downline needs. That's what it's about. And it's why you're not as successful as you want it to be.
Yeah.
And so the secret to fixing your marriage, the secret to having friends, the secret to being happy, the secret to being healthy, the secret to growing your network marketing business is to complete the chapter of your life where you were a raging, tantrum-throwing narcissist and turn the page and actually live the next chapter as somebody who is connected, somebody who cheers for other people, and somebody who truly does the work to be happy, to be healthy. That the tantrums are in the past.
Yeah.
What are some things that you really want for yourself? I mean, you love to sing. Is there a way to expand that? Could you be the choir director at the church?
I could.
But you don't want to?
That's correct.
Because you want to be the center of the attention, or because you don't like the people, or why?
Because I'll give an idea, and then people will criticize it.
They're not criticizing it. They're actually having what we call a discussion.
I'm in charge. Listen, if I'm not in charge, then fuck it. Like, I'm not doing it.
All right. Well, you're going to be in charge and alone and divorced and fat and unhealthy with no friends. That's your choice. You're either in charge of everybody else or you're in fucking charge of yourself and putting all of that crap and that narcissism to the side so you can actually get what you want. Look, if you're a happy narcissist being alone and fucking up your marriage and being a total bitch to everybody you know, go for it.
No, I'm not happy. I'm not happy.
Well, then that's what this battle's about. It's not about your weight.
I agree. I totally agree. I'm mind blown.
Yeah, it's very clear. You either fix this and you get the connection that you want and you build the business that you want and you become the kind of mom that you want and you get healthy, or you are going to die alone as a cranky, righteous narcissist.
I don't want to do that. I don't want that. I don't want that anymore.
Well, that's the fight.
Okay.
The old chapter, the narcissist was in charge. Okay? The narcissist gets defensive when she is asked about her weight, asked about what she ate, asked about exercise, or is shown any other form of support or love or curiosity. Okay? You see how that is like the narcissist diet?
That's a book.
Totally.
I don't want to write that book anymore.
Honey, you already did.
Damn it.
So let's
okay,
let's turn the page. What do you want this new chapter to be defined by? If the old one was the temper tantrum throwing attention-seeking narcissist bitch. That's my title for your old chapter. What is the new chapter? What do you want?
I want to be loving.
Great. Loving.
Like, genuine.
Terrific. And what will your marriage be like?
Sweet.
You are very sweet. When you're not pissed.
That's how I got them, you know, by the way.
It's also how you'll keep them, by the way. The hardest thing for a narcissist to learn, this took me a long time. Do not wait until you're 41 to figure this out, okay? Other people want to be with you when you make them the center of your attention. The second you invert it and you realize that when you focus on the other people, you become the choir director. You become beloved because everything you're doing is elevating everybody else. Mm. When you walk into a room and you are not the loudest, but you're cheering the loudest for everybody else, you become loved. When you go to a party and all you do is ask people questions about their lives and you don't say a single thing about your own, even though when you leave, you're going to be like, those motherfuckers didn't ask me anything about me. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Control, calm, loving, connected. When other people are talking about themselves, they think, oh my gosh, she is just the greatest ever because she's interested in me. That is that's the simple secret to every single human being.
Hmm.
And when you're a narcissist, you do the exact opposite, which is what makes everybody run from you and makes you just angrier. So it's not going to feel natural. But trust me when I tell you, if you take all those skills that you have around attention and you use it to deliberately cheer for and elevate others, you will be shocked at how quickly your friends grow, your business grows, and your happiness grows.
Awesome.
It works for everybody and anybody, even the biggest curmudgeon narcissists on the planet. You pay attention and they love you. It'll work. And you can do it. So name this next chapter.
The new chapter, I want to be the sweet, fairy, the sweet Jessie.
I love it. I do see you as a fairy, flitting about and spreading magic and joy and elevating other people. So I want you to keep this very simple, because the patterns that you're trying to break have been worn in over 30 years, okay? And so that's why I talk about old chapter, new chapter. You're going to slip up. You're going to step into the old chapter because you've lived it for 30 years.
Right.
The second that you realize, oops, I'm being a narcissist again. No problem. Turn the page. We're sweet. We're the fairy. okay, apologize. Lift people up. Be connected. Have some humanity for yourself. Okay?
Okay.
Change is simple. And it's even faster when you keep the distinction simple. Old chapter, new chapter. Whoops, I slipped. Laugh at yourself. Clean up the mess. Fly away like a fairy.
Okay? I feel light. I feel grateful. Calm. Yeah. I'm excited to call my husband and thank him for not giving up on me. And give him some hope of what I've learned. And I think there will be provided some relief for him. I'm excited to do that.
I'm so excited for Jessie, too. Weren't you so moved by her honesty and her vulnerability? One of the things that I love about Jessie is, boy, she took that tough love coaching to heart, and she is now kicking ass. I've been following her on social media, and I'm so proud to tell you that she's made a 180-degree turn. All she's doing now is cheering for her husband, her friends, her kids, and she's also become super transparent in her business. So let's talk about the big themes from this coaching session and what you can do with it. I know we spoke a lot about narcissism, but you don't have to be a narcissist to apply one of the biggest takeaways from this session. And that's the secret to improving your relationship with anybody. Take the focus off of you and put it on everybody else. How do you do it? Start cheering for people. The second takeaway from this particular coaching session is that if you have a problem that you have been trying to fix forever and you're not making any progress, just like Jessie and her weight loss struggle, maybe you don't have any interest in fixing it at all. You know, I used to do this when I suffered from anxiety. I would use my anxiety as an excuse to not have to do anything that scared me. And I also used it to manipulate my husband. You see, when I was anxious, the attention was on me and he was on eggshells. And boy, oh boy, did it work like a charm. So if you're stuck and you can't make headway, just consider maybe it's not a problem. Maybe you're using this as an excuse to not take responsibility. And finally, I think you know by now my commitment is to try to make change simple and fun. And one of the tools that you learned about during the conversation with Jessie is naming the old chapter that you're stuck in versus the new chapter you want to step into. Now, Jessie's old and new chapters are super clear. In the old chapter, she was the narcissist. In the new chapter, she's light as a fairy. Creating these kind of archetypes of old and new, it makes things super black and white. And the more descriptive and fun you make these descriptions, the easier it is to catch yourself when you slip into the old narcissist, and the more fun it becomes to be able to switch into the new you. And that's just going to help you make change simple and fun.